Europe worries about a tit-for-tat trade war while Italy looks set for more political instability. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. The European Union says it's considering retaliatory measures in response to President Trump's plans to impose tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. Mr. Trump is expected to confirm his plans on Wednesday, with a steel tariff expected to be as high as 25%. In the past few hours, the European Union Trade Commissioner, Cecilia Malmström, has been talking to the BBC.
We are, of course, preparing because this has been in the air for quite some time. We think this would be the taxes on aluminium and steel would be erroneous. It is motivated by internal security, and we can't see how the European Union can be a threat to internal security in the US. So we will, of course, possibly with others, take this decision to the WTO. We are also looking at different safeguard measures on our own steel and aluminium. And yes, we are looking at possibilities to retaliate, meaning that we will also put taxes or tariffs on US imports to the European Union. But of course, we wait for the final decision yet.
Cecilia Malmström. Let's do the numbers now. Global stocks are mixed as investors keep a close eye on escalating trade tensions between the US and the rest of the world. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended down 697 points, or 2.28%. European stocks are broadly higher, with Germany's DAX up 99 points, or 0.84%. Italy's benchmark stock index is slumping more than 1% after elections over the weekend failed to give any one party a majority. Voters there have backed anti-establishment parties punishing the country's centre-left government. Partial results show that the populist Five Star Movement won the most seats, but a right-wing coalition is set to emerge as the largest bloc. Unemployment in Italy stands at 11%, and the country has the Eurozone's second-worst debt burden after Greece. Here's UBS Wealth Management Chief Investment Officer for Italy, Matteo Ramenghi.
The scenario we may look at is a broad grand coalition, which involves not only the mainstream parties, but also parts of Lega or parts of the Five Star Movement. And that implies a more limited program and probably a more limited lifespan. Unless, of course, a grand coalition talk fails and therefore we had to repeat elections.
That sounds like more of the same politically, and I suppose that's something markets will welcome.
I would agree with that. I mean, Italy has had some form of grand coalition or technocratic government from 2011, and a grand coalition can reassure markets in terms of fiscal discipline and a consistent economic approach.
Italy has a huge debt burden, and there are fears that that could even trigger another financial crisis. Have any of the parties in this election campaign been talking about how they're going to address that debt?
All the parties claim they will stick to the European Union targets, but at the same time, some of them have been making pledges to do just the opposite if we look at their promises to voters. We have to see what a grand coalition government, how they iron out those pledges.
Matteo Ramenghi. China has announced it will be spending more on defence this year as it seeks to modernise its army. Premier Li Keqiang has been speaking about the government's economic plans for the coming year at the opening of the National People's Congress in Beijing. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell told me more.
One of the things we always pay attention to is the GDP target, and that's because it gives you an idea of how Beijing is going to try and manage the economy, what levers it's going to pull to achieve a certain result. Now, 6.5% target this year is the same as the 6.5% target for last year, despite the fact that last year China achieved a 6.9% growth, according to official figures. Now, what this shows is that the government is going to continue to try and step down growth to achieve what you might call sustainable growth into the long run, rather than the up and down, unpredictable growth it's had in the past. Somehow it has to do this, though, while, for example, finding more money for an 8% increase in military spending and also a 3% decrease in energy per every unit of GDP. And that's so China can achieve its commitments to global warming reductions.
You mentioned defence spending, and that does appear to be a slightly higher proportion of the budget this year. But overall, there seems to be a downward trend on defence spending. Why is that?
Well, it depends how you measure it somewhat. It might be down from a couple of years ago at 10%, but it's certainly up from last year. Last year, the increase was 7%. And I think as China's GDP gets greater, we are talking about a lot more money overall being spent on defence. And so those who are worried about, for example, China's expansion into Africa, for example, into the South China Sea, potentially having nuclear-powered aircraft carrier and the like, would point to this as, you know, an indication that you might be worried about where China's going with its defence spending. China, though, says that it's just part of the normal military modernisation that a country of this size should be engaging in.
Stephen McDonnell speaking to me from Beijing. Don't forget, you can download our podcast wherever you usually find yours. In London, I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.